Hi, I'm Bill Arnold. Thanks for listening to the podcast. A flashback, and so are you. That theme song, of course, belongs to Susie Larson from Live the Promise. She's going to be my guest here coming up in the full hour. So I sent a message out to all the listeners. Hey, if anybody wants to send Susie some love, go ahead and send us a text message, and we'll pass that along to her. And they're coming in. Here's a good one. I love this one. Susie, please come back. I mean, what's his name is okay. But he's not in the same weight class as you, and he's not even playing the same game. So please come back. I can maybe get you more money. So that's cool. You know, that must be maybe my boss. I love this one. Susie, I just spoke to a friend from church yesterday about how she is doing with her Lyme disease. She's in a situation where they can tell her that Lyme disease gets better and doesn't come back. In other words, it's in her head. The Holy Spirit prompted me to tell her how you spoke about Lyme disease. She listened on YouTube yesterday to you and will plan to see a doctor that is transitioning there. Anyway, so thank you. That's a nice encouragement from a listener. And let's see. There's another one here I liked. Let's see. Terry wrote and said, let's see. Can't wait to hear Susie again. When I was born again 3 years ago, her Live the Promise show turned me to many great Christian authors and books. I felt truly blessed. Also, many amazing contemporary Christian music artists, too. Her effervescent personality and love for Christ and God's word emanated through my radio every minute of every show. Blessings, and miss her much. All right, that's what we got coming up the full hour. Susie Larson is going to be with us. If you want to keep the love train coming, 877-933-2484. When we come back, we're going to talk about her book, Fully Alive, Learning to Flourish Mind, Body, and Spirit. Susie Larson in just a minute.
Maybe you have that person in your life who you can sit with over a cup of coffee, and when they talk to you, it just makes sense. It's like their words are a beacon of hope. As you listen to Faith Radio, we long to make that kind of difference. You'll hear the unchanging wisdom of God's Word, truth that challenges you, love that embraces you, and tools that equip you to pass it along to others. The coffee is optional.
But it's nice.
Connecting faith to life. Faith Radio.
You've likely noticed some recent programming changes here at Faith Radio. To help keep you informed about all of our programs, we encourage you to view our program guide at myfaithradio.com. The program guide lists every show, the time it airs, and information about the host. You can also listen to the podcast of any programs you missed. Stay up to date on your favorite shows. Just click on the programs tab at myfaithradio.com.
Welcome back to the show. It's 7 minutes after the hour. The chair I am sitting in, Susie Larson, sat in for 8 years. And as you know, we all love her, miss her. And, you know, the bigger the deal you are, the less introduction you need. So, ladies and gentlemen, Susie Larson. Hi, Susie.
Hey, Bill. Thanks so much for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Did you get a little bit of sweat when you heard your theme song play?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I started to open my mouth to open the show, so you know how that muscle memory works. But
exactly.
Thank you for having me. It means so much.
Oh, yeah. So congratulations on your latest book, Fully Alive, Learning to Flourish Mind, Body, and Spirit. And I started to read it. And I have to say, it's hard for me to be super objective just because I know you and love you so much. But I swear, every sentence, every paragraph is just amazing. You've done a great job with this book.
Thank you so much. It really is. This one was a labor of love. And I will tell you, it feels like the most important book I've written to date. So thank you for saying that.
Uh-huh. Now, say more about that, because why do you say it's the most important one to date?
You know, of course, I write from my heart and everything. You know, I don't write about anything that I don't first go through. But this book is sort of the fruit of the last 3 years. We're behind the scenes. You know, some of my listeners, our friends at Faith Radio, know that I walked through a massive health relapse. And but what came out of that was such a soul healing. And as I started to interview brain experts and doctors, and, you know, I'm a learner, so I just did a deep dive into the whole idea of what happens in your soul happens in your cells. I found it to be true. And it's interesting that science is truly catching up with scripture. And, you know, Bill, I had, before this relapse, I had my physical disciplines and I had my spiritual disciplines. I'm a pretty focused person. But when the relapse happened, you know, I was having I was getting ready to come to the station, actually getting ready for work. And I was having a massive neurological explosion in my body. My face and my neck and my arms went numb. I had bone crushing headaches and the room started to spin. And I was just crying out to God, going, I cannot go through this again. I don't want to go through this again. I'm begging you, let this cup pass from me. I mean, don't let me walk through this again. And I felt like the enemy just had me by the throat, because my throat kept, the esophagus kept spasming. I couldn't swallow. It was just horrifying. And in the midst of this chaotic, what felt like a physical and a spiritual attack in my bathroom, the Lord whispered across my heart, the storms reveal the lies we believe and the truths we need. And I'm like, what? And I heard it again. The storms reveal the lies we believe and the truths we need. And then he just whispered to my heart, you know, I'm not going to let you lose, but I have to let you fight. And I'm like, what are the lies that I believe? And one of them just surfaced right there in the bathroom. And it was that kind of a subconscious lie that I think I believe my whole life. And the enemy just saying, I can get to you anytime, anywhere. And God will never stop me. Like, I had this, I wouldn't have known it, but I think once it was surfaced, I realized I totally believed it, that I actually had to go through everything I feared. Other people had some kind of protection that I didn't know. And when that kind of surfaced in my bathroom that day, it was like God said, Susie, that is not true. And we do not outrun lies. We turn around and we face them and we put them under our feet. And yes, it feels like he has you by the throat, but soon the God of peace is going to crush that enemy under your feet and you will be standing in victory. And it's not true that I've let him have open access to you. You can't imagine how I've provided for you, what I've prevented in your life, but this is a battle. It's time for you to fight. And I'm telling you, Bill, something I've learned is that God will allow an overplayed enemy attack when we are ready to fight the fight and be positioned for freedom. So the whole book is an exploration about soul healing, inner healing, but in fact that it does affect our physiology in a very deep way.
Mm-hmm. Susie, when you said you've been listening to a lie, how far back does that lie go?
That's a good question. That lie started for me as a 10-year-old when I was jumped by some teenage boys and okay. beat terribly. And I got up from that beating. And I knew God was real at that age. I didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus, but I knew that day the devil was real because I heard that in my ear. I can get to you anytime, uh-huh. anywhere. And each time something traumatic happened, there it was in my head again. So it truly was a core belief, even though I didn't realize it. But you know, when you believe something, even if you don't realize it, you live out of that place. And so that really, I mean, I've admitted over the years on Live the Promise how fear was always an issue. And I went to, you know, I felt like God delivered me on many levels, but it was still an issue. This was it. I mean, this was the root cause for me. And it was a D-Day battle. And though I hated the storm, I'm so grateful that God allowed me to face what was in there so it could be uprooted from me.
Isn't it interesting how Satan wants to injure us at the youngest age possible,
yeah.
when you have the least amount of verbal capacity to process and you've got this imprint on your physical body at such a young age that he can sort of then have a place to go and revisit that injury and he has that access? So I think it's his desire to injure you at the youngest age possible.
Oh, that's such a great observation. And I often say when I'm speaking to women at conferences, look at the way that the enemy came against you in your childhood, because he saw your potential before you ever did. So if you just look at the way that he has, you know, ways that you've struggled, traumas you've endured. I had a woman approach me and she said, she just knew it. There was no arrogance, but she said, I have a brilliant mind. And she had, I think, a couple of doctorates. And she goes, it's interesting what you said, because she said, I had an insatiable desire to do drugs, to mess up my mind. And another person approached me and said, you know, I had physical ability for sports, and yet I constantly felt self-aware about my body. So I wanted to enter, you know, just embrace self-preservation. I just think there's probably a message for many people to look at what happened to you or what didn't happen for you. What was the lie you picked up when life let you down? Because God really does want to uproot that to set you free on a deeper level.
Mm-hmm. I've often said to people, Susie, you know, when they talk about maybe some lie that's in their head, I say to them, who would you be without that thought? And you can see their face just completely change, like, oh, you have no idea. I would be so free.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, boy, you just answered your own question. I want to get back to the idea that what happens in our souls happens in our cells. Can you talk about that a little bit more? Because that, to me, is a very interesting idea.
Well, it is so interesting. You know, my Dr. Troy, who I'd had on once a month, I also see an MD. So I'm seeing a functional med doc and a traditional med doc, and they're actually working together. But I learned this from Dr. Troy. It's like, for me, as you know, and you're a fit guy too, and you're into your physical disciplines, I was literally drinking 70 ounces of water a day. I ate well. I went to bed on time. And yet when they did all the blood work, when I had this major relapse, I showed to be very dehydrated. I was missing about, picture a liter, a big jug of
water. I can't imagine that.
3 liters short of fluid I was. And they're like, I'm like, how can I be so dehydrated when I drink 70 ounces of water a day? And what they explained to me is because my body was in fight flight, because there was so much trauma and stuff going on deep inside. I mean, because it was like a vicious circle. The symptoms created more fear, and the fear caused me to go into fight flight, which causes your cells to self-protect, and then you don't even absorb the disciplines that you're engaging in. So even though I was eating well, my blood work showed that I was malnourished. I was drinking a lot of water, but I was dehydrated. So you can be the most disciplined person, but if you're not tending to the things in your soul, it's affecting you physiologically. And I'll tell you a specific example, and interrupt me if you have to go to break, but this fear thing, it says in Scripture over and over again, do not fear. Well, for people who've battled fear, that's easier said than done, although, it's something I've wrestled to the ground over and over again. But when I realized, and I learned this from Dr. Tim Jennings and others that I'd interviewed, that when you allow fear in your life, you're literally opening a door in your physiology to a cascade of inflammation. Now, if you had an inflammatory response, your physiological symptoms, Bill, would be different than mine, because you have different weaknesses and strengths than I do. But the point is, if you have inflammation in your body, that is the atmosphere where sickness and disease grow and flourish. Well, the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. So when you are in fear, your cells are like covering up to protect, because it's fight flight, and you don't even receive the benefits of your disciplines, and your body goes on high alert. When I learned that intellectually, like, I'm thinking, I can't afford more inflammation in my body. Mm. That's when I went after fear like a wild woman, and I put it under my feet, and I can't even I'm not the same person anymore. I'm so grateful.
That's fantastic. Susie, let me take a break. When I come back, more with Susie Larson. And I just got another text message from a listener. Hi, Susie. Miss you so much, especially your Dr. Troy programs. Please bring them back on special editions on Faith Radio. We need the health and wellness knowledge. God bless you, Chipper. So we'll take a little break. When we come back, lots more with Susie Larson and her book, Fully Alive, Learning to Flourish Mind, Body, and Spirit. We'll be right back. It is 19 minutes after the hour. So glad you are with me today. Susie Larson is my guest. And sometimes you save the sappiness. I save the sappiness for the end, but I'm going to get it out of the way right now. Susie, I sure do miss you around here.
I miss you too. I miss everybody so much.
And yeah.
God has really used this time away to do something really deep in me. But you guys are all in my heart. I mean, and I being with Faith Radio for 12 years, 4 years as a backup host, and then 8 years, I'm telling you, my car wants to drive there every day by itself. So I miss everybody. But you've been a friend through it all, Bill, and I just cannot thank you enough.
Well, thank you so much for saying all that. I just have deep affectionate feelings for the work you did here and for you and for your continued success going forward. You know, we're at a place in the world now where we seem to medicalize sin to the point where, you know, you don't, you're not a thief anymore. You're a kleptomaniac. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, you're not a drunk. You've got alcoholism. I don't want to start picking through hairs, but we're also just, we're addicted to treating symptoms, aren't we?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. And that exactly right. And that is a huge, something, a big point that I address in the book because I feel so passionate about it. I mean, personal responsibility is critical to our flourishing. God is not obligated to make us healthy if we keep trashing our body. He's just not. I mean, you know, what we sow is what we grow. And there's a story in Scripture where Jesus approaches a man on a mat who'd been sick for 38 years. And he said, "Do you want to get well?" And the man's response was, "I can't, sir." And I got to tell you, Bill, God kept bringing me back to that passage again and again. And it almost hurt my feelings because I truly, I'm like, Lord, of course I want to get well. I mean, I go to bed on time. I'm praying the Scriptures. I'm taking my vitamins. I'm fighting for this thing. What do you mean? Do I want to get well? And yet he was just quiet. But I thought, well, he's God. And so I need to just ask a better question. So I said, okay, what are the hindrances in my own soul that I can't, that I'm blind to? What don't I see? Because I want to be well. I know you want me well. What don't I see? And about a week later, I was about ready to step up to speak, and I was having one of those inflammatory responses. My arms, face, everything was numb. I was dizzy, really weak, and I just want to go to bed, but I had a job to do, and I'm ready to step out on stage. And the host grabs me and pulls me back, and she said, oh, before you go out there, make sure that you tell them that you struggle with your health. Otherwise, they're just going to hate you when they get a look at you. And I stopped in my tracks, but you know what, Bill? I've heard that 1,000 times. And I know most times women are joking. I'd hate you if you didn't struggle so. But as a woman who was on the receiving end of pretty painful gossip many, many years ago, that was a terror for me to have women who were my friends and then turn on me like that. That it was, I'm standing backstage when that woman said that, and the Lord whispered in my heart, "Can you handle it if I heal you? Can you handle others' opinions about you?" And besides, not all women are that petty, but those who are, they need healing too. But will you trust me? Bill, it stopped me in my tracks, and I realized I didn't have the faith for that. So even though I was doing a lot of the right things, praying a lot of the right things, there was this core fear, like, what will I do if people hate me if I get well? You know, about a week later, I pray every day for human trafficking victims and slaves, and every day. And I was praying one day, and the phrase blessing guilt passed through my mind. And I'm like, blessing guilt? And there the Lord was again. Can you handle it if I set you free while many stay captive? And I said, absolutely not. I mean, that was my instinctive reaction. But I know theologically, and I know in my head, what God does for one does not diminish his ability to do for another. But I had this core thing in me. I'm so aware every day of the suffering in the world. I'm living in that tension of that kind of burden that people live with and some of the blessings we enjoy as Americans. It's never lost on me. But here again, I had a faith crisis, and I thought, can I handle it? And I had to work it through. And the point being is I've interviewed different people and talked a lot, asked a lot of questions, Bill, is there are hindrances in our soul to our own healing, things that we're just not willing to do, things that God is saying, I've asked you to quit eating that, or I've asked you to quit drinking that, or I've asked you to start going to bed on time. I've asked you to quit committing to more than you can handle. Those are things we know about and we kind of put off for another day. But then there are hindrances in our soul from just core beliefs that we don't even realize we have. And when you follow Jesus through the Gospels, you see he was very tough on religious leaders, but he was merciful on everybody else. But this guy, he still had something to say to him. He said, quit your sinning or something worse may happen to you. That was interesting to me. There's a personal responsibility in our flourishing. And that's why the theme through the whole book is we're going to pursue healing. We're going to make whatever tweaks we need to make. We're going to change our core beliefs, whatever we need to do. We're going to give God access to the traumas in our soul that we buried before they were dead. You know, we're going to ask God, we're going to pursue that healing. And then we're going to ask for a miracle. Then we're going to ask God, do what only you can do. And I think the goal here is picture you. What would a healed, healthy, free you look like? What do you want to look like in a year in your soul as far as do you want to be free from the bondage of others' opinions? Do you want to have less aches and pains? Do you want to know a soul healing so that you're not so hung up in relationships? Wherever you're at, you must know that God has more for you. He just does. And are we willing to engage with him in that process?
Mm. Susie's book is called Fully Alive. I believe we've got some copies to give away. We've got four copies to give away. So if you want to get into the drawing, you can email me, bill@myfaithradio.com. I just don't want my laptop to blow up in the next minute and a half. So please be nice, but make sure you put your name and your address down, and we'll put your name in the drawing to win one of Susie's books, Fully Alive. Susie, you know, there's a lot of people that will say that that God's more concerned, obviously, about our spiritual and our souls than our bodies. How do you respond to that?
I'm glad you asked about that, because if you follow him through the Gospels, he cared deeply about the human condition. He addressed the human condition. And Bill, you know, again, we are very like-minded in our approach to health. And you know this, that if you're trashing your health and you're not taking care of yourself, you will spend a lot of your time because you're going to have to tend to your health one way or the other. But if you create a crisis, a lot of your time will have to go to manage that
That's
crisis.
True.
And I'm just saying that you feel better when you show up to life and you're healthier. You have so much more to offer to other people. And the Bible does say we carry this treasure in these earthen vessels, so we know the powers of God and not of us. But still, we carry this treasure in these earthen vessels. And there's something to be said about it. And I think, too, Bill, that there are some who believe they're so spiritually minded they don't think God cares about their health, and maybe they've even heard that, so they've stopped asking God to heal them. They've stopped contending for a healthier self. And I'm just saying, he cares about it. Watch him in Scripture. See how he tends to people in their human condition. And when he says, you know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I come that you have life and life abundantly, he means the whole person. Salvation is the rescue of the entire person. And if there's one thing that I've learned over these last few years, Bill, is that the gospel is more far-reaching than we once thought. What Jesus intended for us during this time on earth is more far-reaching than we once thought, but it's so we can be a blessing to a world in need.
Mm. You haven't missed a beat, Susie.
Hmm.
So
you,
good.
Friend.
It's so
Thank
good.
Hmm.
So, you know, we have a heartbreak at 29, so... That's Shop Talk. We're just having a little Shop Talk here. Well, so I want to know what you want to do in the second half of the hour. Do we want to open phone lines? What do you want to do?
I would love to hear from people if they want to call and ask questions. But I also want to talk on the other side about the impact of grief in our life. And that's not a downer. It's really an invitation to heal. If you're okay with that, I'd love to go there.
Yeah. When you say grief, do you mean lament or grief or...
Well, Steve Arterburn said a couple years ago when I interviewed him, he said one of the great epidemics of the American church today is unresolved grief. He said we all have had a series of losses, hurts, and disappointments, but we've not slowed down long enough to heal from them. And we do a lot of workarounds, Bill, and we just do. We're multitaskers. But when you work around something, again, that you've not sorted through in the light of God's love, it will surface again. And if not in your emotions, then in your relationships. If not in your relationships, in your physiology. So it's worth giving some time and space to go, you know what? That hurt or that loss, I felt that. But not get stuck there, but go back there.
That's where I want to pick up when we come back, because that's really interesting. Susie Larson is my guest. I probably didn't even have to tell you that because you recognize the voice. I just want you to know I'm the host. She's the guest. You know?
Just to be clear.
All right. And her book is called Fully Alive, Learning to Flourish Mind, Body, and Spirit. You can certainly send Susie a message at 877-933-2484. We'll also open up the phone lines in the next half hour. But when we come back, more with Susie in just a minute. Welcome back to the show. It's 31 minutes after the hour. Susie Larson is my guest. She's written a book called Fully Alive, Learning to Flourish Mind, Body, and Spirit. Susie, my computer just completely blew up, just so you know.
Really?
Oh, my.
You're not making that up?
I'm really not. I think I got, let's see, there's another one. I think that's 22 or 23 emails in about 90 seconds.
Wow. So, thank you, friends.
Yeah, I'm picking out the one I like. May I talk about that one?
It is your show, after all.
Well, that's funny you would mention that. She said, hello, I love your show. But everyone else was just like, put me in the drawing for Susie's book. So I want to say hi to Christy Sundstrom in Cushing, Wisconsin, who said she loved the show. So that's awfully nice. Mm-hmm. All right, let's talk. Here's another one. Okay. Yeah. I'm trying to feel popular, but I'm really struggling today. Susie, minister to me, please.
Phil, you're very loved, and you're just being kind to me, so I appreciate it, though.
Well, let's talk about the unresolved grief.
Yeah. Yeah, before the break, I was saying, you know, again, while I was walking through this three-year period of unbelievable trial with my health, I had interviewed Steve Arterburn on Live the Promise, and he surprised me. We weren't even talking about grief. I can't remember the question I even asked him, but he said, one of the great epidemics of the American church today is unresolved grief. He said, we've all experienced losses, hurts, and disappointments, and yet we've not taken time to sort through them. And I started to ask around. Whenever I hear a quote or a thought like that, I ask around and I dig in. I ask doctors. I ask counselors. And everybody affirmed that that was absolutely true. In fact, a counselor friend of mine said, we are seeing women come in, she and her colleagues, in their 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, with unbelievable panic attacks, anxiety, irrational fears, and weird physiological symptoms that doctors can't find a diagnosis for. And she said time and time again, she says, we are seeing these women, and I think this is true for men. I'm hearing a lot from men who are battling either panic attacks, anxiety, and fear. It's at just epidemic rise right now. The counselor friend said, it's this exactly true, that all of these losses, all of these hurts and disappointments, we do these workarounds. And she said they have to go somewhere. So they push out into the physiology to get our attention another way. So I did a really deep dive in that whole thing. And I explored just the idea of grief and what does that look like? Because we can get stuck into self-pity where we become rehashing and rehearsing our losses to the point where we become very dark. And that's one extreme. But most of the population does a workaround and doesn't want to face it. And in the book, I tell a story of a friend who had some sexual trauma at the hands of a family member when she was a child. Some of her family members believed her, others did not. Well, she's a young adult, and she and her husband had tried for years to get pregnant, and the loss and the hurt around that was killing her because everybody was pregnant, it seemed, around her except for her. And they said, we have one more test we can do on you, and this will determine if you're a candidate for in vitro. She said, the doctor said, if this test proves that you're not, this is the end of the road for you. You have to accept you can't have children. Well, every time she went to about make the appointment, the fear that rose up in her was so significant. Even though she had counseled years prior around the trauma as a child, she thought, something's coming up for me. And so she went to a counselor, said, I've got to sort through this loss that I'm feeling around potentially not being able to have kids. I can't face it yet. And what happened was God had her revisit some of the trauma around her childhood and then around what if? What if you don't get what you want? Well, she did the process. She came through that and thought, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready for this. The day of the test, she's the doctor, this is a tiny bit graphic, but hang with me. The doctor put the scope inside and bumped into a wall of scar tissue inside, and which totally validated her testimony as a child that she indeed had sexual trauma at the hands of a family member. So anyway, the doctor said, there's a wall of scar tissue here. She said, I'm going to press through. Are you okay? Can you just hang on? Brace yourself. So she pressed through, and she took a scalpel to that scar tissue. And what she found on the other side of that wall was a viable, healthy uterus. And she said to my friend, I believe we've just found the reason you couldn't get pregnant. In fact, I think you'll be back in 4 weeks to tell me that you are pregnant. That's exactly what happened. In fact, when she was sharing the story with me, she was pregnant with number two. And I'm telling you, Bill, I feel like that's a visual for us. We've got to believe that there's life on the other side of our hurts. I think one of the reasons we don't want to revisit those things because we feel like they'll swallow us alive. And the enemy threatens exposure. But the thing is, he's afraid of exposure. When God knows you're ready, he will allow a storm to stir you up and do what my friend did. Go to a counselor, go to a mentor and say, I'm being triggered. I got to retrace my steps and find out what is the lie that I believe. What's the hurt that I've not sorted through? Because God is so merciful and kind. He only wants you free. And so he will allow you to be stirred up. He will allow an overplayed enemy attack so to walk you to a place of freedom. We must not be afraid to grieve our losses because we won't stay there. We'll pass through the valley of the shadow and we'll get to that place where the Bible says the valley of weeping will become a pool of blessing.
So Susie, if I were to maybe listen to what you said, and if I could maybe condense it, would it be either you deal with it or it will deal with you?
Well, I wish I would have said it that concise. Well, exactly right, Bill.
But
no,
I mean,
you're right.
You're talking about, you know, this procedure of scraping scar tissue in the uterus, and all of a sudden there's this, you know, healthy womb. And I'm thinking, I've almost got tears in my eyes because it's like, yeah, you have to deal with it or it deals with you.
You know, in the picture that I got, because I'm sure guys listening probably won't fully relate to this story, but, you know, if you picture the scar tissue, you know how on the football field when they put up a big banner and the football players run right through it?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like whenever, you know, God is about to do a new thing, I always say this, the devil will bring up an old thing because he wants you looking back when you need to be looking up. And the thing is, whenever you're ready to take a new risk, to dream a new dream, the enemy will bring up an old thing. And if you picture like a canvas of your life story with the dark swipes of hurts, it's like he puts it in your path and it stirs up your fears, and you turn around and go the other way because you're like, I can't go there. I can't. He'll trigger your fears. And so that's enough of a sign, quote unquote, for you to go, I can't go there. I'm not ready to go there. But if you could be like the football players and blast through that canvas, you know, you've got to break through the scar tissue. And, you know, a lot of people were saying at the beginning of 2017, this is the breakthrough year for many. This is the breakthrough year. And I'm telling you, I thought for a while, a breakthrough year is like you get the email, you get the call, and you've won the lottery, even if you don't play the lottery. But it's like one of those all of a sudden moments, bam, I've broken through. But what I learned after pressing through, breaking through my own stuff, is that stuff has to break for you to have a breakthrough. Stuff has to break down for you to break through. And it takes some work. We didn't get here overnight, but we don't have to be afraid of the process because we have a smiling Savior who's with us every step of the way.
I love it. All right. Now, Fully Alive, you've designed this book for it to be a 10-week journey. Is that say more
That's
about
right.
that?
Yep. And I've got a DVD that goes with it as well.
Are you in it?
Yes, I
did.
There's
a copy.
Okay, I'll send you one. Got 10 sessions, so one for each chapter.
Yeah.
In fact, I'll throw one in for one of your winners. I'll send a couple copies to the station, one for you and one for them. But yeah, truly, it's a 10-week journey because I'm asking for a deep dive. I mean, we're looking at fear, shame, anxiety, insecurity, selfishness, just to name a few. This isn't light reading, and it really isn't for you if everything's coming up roses for you right now. It's for the person who feels like there's a soul restlessness. They know they're not really okay, and they're ready to take some time and space to get with God and to walk a deeper walk.
So, Susie, if you're afraid to face your past hurts, and many are, and for so many good, legitimate reasons, sometimes the feeling of safety is the most dangerous place to be, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely is. And you've heard the old quote, I don't know who first said it, but we prefer a known captivity to an unknown freedom.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, Bill, you know, it's our faith that pleases God. It's for freedom that he has set us free. And one of the reasons Jesus came was to destroy the works of the enemy. And what I end the book on eternity, and I'm always thinking of eternity just because I think I say this a lot. Life on earth is short. Eternity is long. Yet how we live here determines how we live there. And there are so many Christians, I believe it with everything in me, that are going to live and die and realize I was saved, but I was not free. I lived my whole life in reaction to my stuff, managing my stuff, staying in the boundaries of my fears. But there's no reward for that. I mean, there's reward for faith and for guts, you know, and for a tenacity to say, I'm laying hold of the promise, even if it doesn't feel true. And that's what I want, is an awakening in the body of Christ to say, I want to be so healed, so whole, so well, that when others see me, they just want to look up to the Lord in heaven for themselves, for their story. And I feel like we are in a day, Bill, that we need to do this because I feel like a storm is coming. A storm is coming and to our nation. Look at where things are at. And if we are thriving in the midst of the storm, if we have a peace on our countenance and a freedom in our soul, people are going to start asking about the hope that's within us. And we can say, well, let me tell you about the Savior who came to give us life and life abundantly.
All right, Susie, are we at a place now where we can start talking about fear? Because fear grips everybody, especially when it comes to health-related issues. And maybe you get through a period of not feeling great, then all of a sudden you're instantly afraid it's going to come back.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, how do we address some of these fears that are rational and irrational?
Well, I'm really glad you asked about that. That's a big one. What helped me, because I knew Scripture said don't fear, but I had legitimate things to fear. And there was a point when, as I mentioned earlier in the show, that I learned that fear was opening up inflammation in my body. Well, another thing I learned, Bill, that I thought was fascinating, and I do include a little bit of science in each chapter, the physiological piece, because it's fascinating to me. But think about this. Our brains operate on only one of two motivational fuels, either fear or love. Science has proven this, but scripture says there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. But the only gas, basically, the fuel for your brain, one of two, fear or love. So if you're not in love, you're in fear. And the thing is, for the Christian, but anybody especially, but fear is never a good motivator. But if we are driven by fear, we're driven right into reaction. When you think what scripture says, that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. When you break up that verse, think about it. He's not given us a spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit, and it's not from God. It's from the enemy. So the opposite, power, love, and sound mind. Power is dunamis power, where we get the word dynamite, explosive power. He's not given us a spirit of fear, but he's given us access to his spirit where we can walk in explosive power. Love, in that verse, is the agape love, which means the kind of love where we love not our lives, even unto death. So it's a radical otherworldly love. And then sound mind. We have wisdom, we have war skill, we have a clarity, we have sound mind. And we think about the world right now, everybody, that's an overstatement, many people are in fear. And because they're in fear, they're not walking in power, they're walking in a very physical reaction, in a reactionary mode. They're not walking in love, they're walking in self-preservation. They're not walking with a sound mind. Many have lost their minds, they've lost their wits. It's such a crazy, crazy time right now. This is a call for us. So back to the brain, fear or love? There is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. When I started to learn how the brain works, our brain, our bodies are so fearfully and wonderfully made that they respond to the most consistent choices we make. So for me, because I would go to fear every time my symptoms would flare and they were scary symptoms, I would go to fear so fast that because my brain wanted to help me with my most consistent thoughts, it took a path of fear and turned it into a four-lane superhighway. And that's what happens. Whatever thoughts you have on repeat, your body's turning it into a superhighway and you become more and more triggerable. So let's say your fear, your rehearsing thought is, I'm a reject, or I hate my body, or my marriage is never, ever going to get better. Whatever rehearsing thought you have, picture these little guys in your brain forming a four-way superhighway, and you're triggerable. When I learned that I needed to form a new path, there's something called neuroplasticity in our brain, that if I would travel down a new path, and I put a road close sign in front of this path, and I stopped using that superhighway, what happens in my brain is my brain deletes that pathway. And so it took everything in me, Bill, but I'm like, I'm developing a zero tolerance policy on fear. I can't afford the inflammation. I can't afford it. I've got to rewire and reset my course in my thought life. So every single time I was triggered, and I actually got worse before I got better, I just thought, I'm turning my back on fear. I'm not doing it. And Lord, I'm thanking you that your promises are true. You will always make a way for me. But what kept coming up for me, one of the core fears I had was fear of a debilitating neurological disease, because I'd already had one and it was terrible. And one of my core prayer people, she said to me, Susie, go ahead, fight for your life. But she says, you got to die to that fear. She said, the devil can't mess with a corpse and you're still trying to get a guarantee that your fear won't happen. You got to die to that fear. And I'm like, I don't think I can. She says, you have to. So I got this picture of this altar, and I just thought, Lord, I believe you're a healer. I believe you can heal me. I don't think you want me sick. But I'm going to say that even if I have to walk through something like this, I'm going to face it with the Prince of Peace and not the spirit of fear. So I'm crawling up on this altar, and I'm refusing to fear. I'm going to trust you. And I was like a rag doll, Bill. I mean, that was the scariest thing I'd ever done. And I'm a visual person, so God often speaks to me in word pictures, but I got this visual of this Lion of Judah, like Aslan from the Chronicles of Narnia, with this flowing mane and this little ball, just a rag doll mess of a thing on this altar. He puts one paw on one side, another paw on the other side, and he rises up and he roars to the atmosphere as if to say, she is mine. Don't you come near her. Then he whispered to my heart, right now, Susie, you feel fragile and vulnerable, but you're only one of those things. You're fragile, but you're not vulnerable. You don't have to be afraid. And it changed things for me, Bill. So the tenacious rerouting of my thoughts and the surrendering of my fears to God radically changed my perspective. So whatever the fears are, there's a promise for you. And it doesn't mean what you fear won't happen, but we cannot live in fear. It's bad for us physiologically, emotionally, and spiritually.
That's beautiful, Susie. I just love what you said. And you really have meant it and have said it with such passion that I appreciate that. So I am going to take another break, and the calls are still flying in here. Just here's a quick email from a listener as we go to break. Many thanks for having Susie on as your guest today. Love, love, love her so much. Such an incredible blessing to hear her talk about her new book, and very timely for me with my own health struggles for the past years. Please enter me into the drawing for her book. Thank you, Renee. Isn't that sweet?
Thank you, Lord. Yes,
yeah.
Thank you.
Amen. All right. Susie Larson is my guest. When we come back, more with Susie in just a minute. Welcome back. The Big Hand is on the 49, so 11 minutes until the top of the hour. Susie Larson is my guest. She's written a book called Fully Alive, Learning to Flourish Mind, Body, and Spirit. And we are having a gigantic love fest, as many listeners that used to love Susie here at Faith Radio, like all of us did, are sending in their warm wishes. So isn't that nice?
Yeah, it's precious. Thank you so much.
It's so nice. Susie, talk about rest, how important it is to get, and how much we're not doing it.
Boy, that's a whole show, isn't it, Bill?
I think it is. You're welcome back anytime, by the way.
Yeah. Thank you for that. You know, there's
stop being so much better than me.
Yeah, you are so funny. Well, there's several aspects to rest, but one of the things I talk about in the book is that rest can actually be an act of warfare where you realize more is on God's shoulders than on your shoulders. And, you know, though we're everything to God, we are not as important as we think, in that we think so much is on our shoulders. What God wants is a heart of faith and an offering from a pure heart, and he can take that and work miracles with it. So rest is multifaceted. You know, one thing is, I've always been a proponent of a good bedtime. If you're inconsistent with your good bedtime, you'll never hit a stride physically. You just won't. But also, there needs to be boundaries around your worries and around your thoughts. And I'm fascinated again by, you know, Scripture says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Guarding our heart and mind takes work, but we're no stranger to work. You know, it's hard, but we've done hard. We can do hard. But you'll start to notice fruit in your life when you start to cultivate a heart at rest, where you tell yourself, if you have to on the hour, more is on his shoulders than on mine. And you cultivate a heart at rest. You know in your own soul when you're stirred up. And I've just learned to retrace my steps to go, where did the soul unrest come from? Another verse that comes to me is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted in the earth. I will be exalted in the nations. Another translation is, cease striving and know. Well, the word know there, it's about intimately knowing God. So in whatever area that you have soul unrest, God is saying, stop trying to fix it yourself and know me more intimately here. So let's say your unrest is around finances and you've gotten a third job that God didn't ask you to do. What if you stopped striving and you said, Lord, I want to know you more intimately as my provider? Get ready for an experience in God that you've never experienced before, but know that he will ask things from you as well. He has things he wants for you, but he wants things from you. And that's the ebb and flow relationship to all of our flourishing, is he gets to decide. He gets to put his finger on something for us to say, that thing, I want to take that now. That anxiety, or that fifth donut, or, you know what I mean, that tendency to over worry, I want to take that. I want to give you more of myself. And are we willing to be on that back and forth ebb and flow journey with him?
Mm-hmm. All right, Susie, before my next question, I have to throw in another listener email. I found this amusing. Just wanted to say it is so good to hear Susie's voice again. She is so amazing. You too, Bill. Laugh out loud. That hurt.
I'm sorry. Why do you do that to yourself?
Why
do you read those things on the air?
I just low-lying fruit there. I just...
Oh, my goodness.
All right. Susie, why is it so much easier for us to talk about, you know, our physical pain than our emotional pain? You know, maybe men in particular are really bad at this, but women, I think, are better. But why do we talk about physical pain but not emotional pain?
Okay, just got to tell you, that's a brilliant question, and you're a brilliant interviewer.
Oh, knock it off.
I mean it, though. That is a fantastic – nobody's asked me in all the interviews I've done. Nobody's asked me that question yet. I say because it takes humility and vulnerability to deal with the emotional pain. And we want to be, you know, we got it all under control. We absolutely don't. I think that control is an absolute illusion. But when you're willing and humble enough to be broken, that's what draws people to you. That's as irresistible to God. And that's the only way to get healed. I know many really high level professional guys and gals, when they something got their attention, they were holding it together until the crisis happened, until the physical thing happened. They had to go back and revisit a trauma from childhood, and then they came through the other side, healed and whole. And this is probably the worst analogy, but it's one that I think of. But you know how you feel like right before you get the stomach flu, you just like are kind of clammy and you're like inside, you're just like, but people looking at you on the outside may think he doesn't look like himself, but he's okay. That, you know, you kind of, that's how you feel. And then you get the all out flu. I'm so glad I brought this up. But anyway, when you get to the other side, food tastes better. You get your life back. I mean, there's something so amazing. I feel like people live with the stomach flu emotionally and just will not take time to get to the other side. And it will be messy, but I'm telling you, God will be with you in it. And you'll find that you have more territory waiting for you on the other side.
Mm-hmm. I'm fascinated, Susie, with some of the research you've done on the brain and the renewing of our minds, because I'm thinking if someone, when I was five, threw a snake on me, that I would have a fight or flight response. So yeah. If someone walks in the room with a snake, the first thing I would do is climb on a desk because I don't want the snake thrown on me.
Yeah.
So how do we try to get that rewired to the place where we can not be in that sense of panic? Are there scriptures that encourage that?
Well, I would tell you, if when you're triggered, pay attention to it. And I'm telling you, I'm a huge proponent of good Christian counselors and godly mentors and prayer people, because you don't want to go through a lot of this stuff alone. But what my old pastor used to say is, when you're stirred up, you know, we tend to stuff it down, we tend to numb out. Picture Jesus, he would say, reaching in your soul, pulling that thing out, saying, "See this? I'm about to set you free from this." And I want you just to be encouraged in that. But it, again, I go back to, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. John 10:10, that I've come that you have life and life abundantly. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As a man thinks, so he is. That's in Proverbs. So be willing to go there with God. And we don't have time to talk about this, but there's a pretty raw story. This is the most raw book I've ever written. I mean, I was hiding under my desk when I hit send on the manuscript because it's so raw. But I don't have time to tell it now. But when I was interviewing, probably the last months or 6 months of Live the Promise, I interviewed a number of guys who'd gone to prison, white-collar crime that they didn't know they committed and whatever. And each time I interviewed these guys, my whole skin got prickly. I started to have this like irrational fear of going to prison. I was watching the speed limit. Like, I was like, sure, I was going to prison. And you have to read the book to figure it out. But what was God was bringing to the surface, something that had happened that I had stuffed way, 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 way down. And once he brought it to the surface, it was like a light switch. I was free. It was absolutely amazing. So we don't have to be afraid. And you don't have to go on a hunt for it either. You just walk with God. But when the storms come up, look around, because the storms reveal the lies we believe and the truths we need.
I just got a note from management that they're garnishing my wages this hour because they said it doesn't sound like you're working. It sounds like you're just chatting with a friend.
Oh, that's good radio, isn't it?
Well, it is. And my ratings are soaring today. And I'm just patting myself on the back for doing such a fantastic job.
As you should.
Yeah. And when you said, you know, this is the hardest book you've written, or the most, what did you
say? Most raw.
The most raw,
sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, you always said on your show, there's probably someone out there that might need to hit the reset button on a lot. What would you recommend to be their first step?
I would say get with God. And I pray that doesn't sound hyper-spiritual, but Psalm 139, search me, O God, and know my heart. Point out anything in me. In that passage, it says anything in me that offends you. But I would say point out anything in me that I cannot see. Show me what the hindrances to my own healing and flourishing are. I'm ready to listen, Lord. Mm-hmm. And he will lovingly lead you to a path of freedom. He will.
Okay, 45 seconds left. Susie, would you pray for us?
Yes, Father in heaven, I thank you for Bill. I pray blessing on the work of his hands. I thank you for these dear listeners I miss so very much. I pray you'd lead them into a place of flourishing, of healing, of wholeness. I pray a blessing on Faith Radio, that you would prosper the work of everybody's hands. And I thank you, God, that you came to set us free and to heal us in the deepest way. And we ask you, continue your good work in us, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.
Thank you so much, Susie. We had a record number of emails in for the people interested in being in the drawing for your book. So I will give you that number after we conclude the show. But you can also go and buy Susie's book, which is what I'm sure she'd prefer. Fully Alive, Susie Larson, Learning to Flourish Mind, Body, and Spirit. I'm sure you can go to Amazon.com and get it. It's published by Bethany House. It's just been a delight to have you on the show. I can't wait to talk to you again, Susie.
I love you, my friend.
Love you, you too. Have a great evening, and best to Kevin and family.
And you as well.
All right. That wraps up our show. If you missed any of it, you're going to definitely want to go to myfaithradio.com, check out Afternoons with Bill Arnold, and you can get the podcast. Have a great night, everyone. I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Programming like this is made available through your support. Information available at myfaithradio.com.